Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu declares Israel is at war after Hamas militants launched a surprise attack from Gaza. Hundreds have been killed and thousands wounded. Israeli soldiers and civilians have been taken as hostages.
This is the worst attack on Israel since the Yom Kippur War in 1973, almost exactly 50 years ago. But there's also a big difference. That was a state-on-state conflict, army against army, with clear front lines. This is a massive terrorist attack targeting Israeli civilians, gunning people down in the streets of their towns, gunning them down in their homes, dragging Israelis, men, women, and children across the border with Gaza. A Holocaust survivor in a wheelchair, women and children all being taken hostage. So you can imagine the impact this is having in Israel. And it should be revolting to people around the world.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. Some of the video that has come out, which, you know, the comparisons that are being made are to more like ISIS tactics than anything else that we've seen previously from Hamas. But yet this kind of just attack the Israelis, you know, send rocket. I mean, there have been rockets over the years, but there's been nothing like this kind of volume coordinated, certainly not in 50 years since the Yom Kippur War. But you have, they're going into places in Israel and just shooting up like music festivals, kidnapping people off the streets, kidnapping people that are raping women, killing women. I mean, it's targeting towards particularly the kind of non-combatants that we think you're supposed to protect. One of the videos that was kind of circulating a lot yesterday on social media was of a group of presumably Hamas terrorists taking a woman out of the trunk of a Jeep and moving her into the sidewall of the Jeep. And this is kind of the background noise. You can't tell much about what's going on from the video itself, but this is what it sounds like. This is as they're harassing this woman from the trunk into the side. That's the whole activity of the film, is showing this poor woman, probably in her maybe early 30s, late 20s. Just, you know, look at us celebrating. God is great. We're kidnapping a Jewish girl. Here's another one of them on motorcycles doing the same thing to a woman who her family put this one up because they had seen it and they want it. You know, out there that she's in danger. Noah Agamani happens to be her name. And her great crime was going to a music festival. That was what she did wrong. She went to a music festival. And she was Jewish. So these folks are just evil. It's unbelievable what they're doing. And, you know, if you look at the condition of Israel dealing with the Palestinian territories, the West Bank, dealing with the Golan Heights, not the Palestinian, I know, but, you know, dealing with that problem of that being a source of rocket attacks to their north, dealing with Hezbollah, which is, you know, Lebanese, dealing with to its north, okay, dealing with Hamas and the Gaza Strip, which is to its southwest between it and Egypt. It's been very popular over the years to make it seem like, you know, Israel is this terrible place. And yet when I was in Israel, what I remember is the Israelis, they would love to have peace. You know, they would love to just not be attacked by all their neighbors. They would love to have peace. They would love to get along. And what you find is that that's just not what the Arabs are interested in. I mean, some of them are. I mean, some of them are. Jordan, you know, they have worked with Israel, and, you know, Israel helped them irrigate their farmland with the Jordan River, you know, so doing a good turn, teaching them technology and helping them farm and, you know, making allies by blessing them. But, you know, the other Arab states around the region have not been anywhere near as interested. And generally, they don't recognize Israel. They say, you know, public policy like in Iran is to wipe Israel off the map. They don't deserve to exist because, again, they have the, you know, the audacity to be what, like Jewish, you know, and to claim a bunch of territory that nobody wanted for forever until they had it. And then once they had it, then all of a sudden, oh, how dare you? I don't know. I mean, like, you know, sort of God promised it to us and we had it for a long time and y'all haven't been doing anything with it. Trying to find the one place where they wouldn't get exterminated on the planet. And lo and behold, you know, even that place is not safe from that particular issue. Now, Kristen Welker, who had Antony Blinken on, Secretary of State on NBC's Meet the Press, you know, I thought she did okay with President Trump. I didn't watch last week. This is her third week, I believe. And the shine has worn off for me. She's just like Antony Blinken, Antony Blinken. It's Antony, but everybody says Antony. It's Tony, if you want to be safe. She just seems to be captivated by the wrong thing.
Mr. Secretary, do you acknowledge that both Israeli intelligence officials and U.S. intelligence officials were caught off guard here?
See, this is the kind of question you ask when you think your job as a news person is to, like, I don't know, get some cut in, you know, like get some show that you got the guy who was on the show that you asked him some question that exposed some. Instead of, and I mean, you may notice this with me. One of the things that I try to do when I'm interviewing people is I just want them, they're experts, right? I invite experts on the show. Okay. And I want to get the information that they have, you know? And so I want to ask, later on she asks questions that are more information oriented, but the beginning here is, you know, was this an intelligence failure? Well, I mean, in the sense that we didn't know it was coming, sure. In the sense that we should have known, well, hard to say, you know, hard to say. Did they successfully pull off an attack without anybody knowing? Yeah. Is that a failure of intelligence? Well, if intelligence is success only when we either are aware or thwart, then yeah, sure, okay. But while people are being killed on the ground, this is the question you want to ask? I mean, this is a question for a month or a year from now.
This is an attack that I don't think anyone saw coming in the immediate.
So was it an intelligence failure, Mr. Secretary?
See, like that, like the press again, she's starting to do this more and more, and I find it more and more irritating because she won't let her people answer the questions that they're asking them. And look, I will interrupt people sometimes when they go on and on, and I will interrupt if they're deliberately avoiding. But he's not avoiding. He's just trying to give you an answer. You gave him, let's say, 7 seconds before you interrupted him.
Do you acknowledge it was an intelligence
failure? We will have plenty of time to, the Israelis will have plenty of time to look into that. All of us will have time to look into that. The focus now has to be on making sure that Israel has what it needs to deal with this attack and to make sure that its citizens are safe and secure. That's the entire focus.
Yeah, and he's exactly right. That is the right focus. And she's not helping by making this the first question that she fixates on, which, by the way, she did for Nikki Haley, too. And look, I mean, she's new in this position. I don't know whether she's doing it herself or whether she's being produced in this direction or whatnot. But it made me not respect the show very much, or at least not respect her very much in this way of organizing the material.
To what extent do you see this as a major intelligence failure?
That was the question in Nikki Haley first question.
Well, I think that there will be a time and place to deal with whether it was an intelligence failure. I think right now what I want the American people to know is just imagine the Israeli people woke up to seeing their own citizens dragged in the streets, the elderly, children, women taken as hostages, whole families murdered. And so now today the Israeli people and the country are having to face the fact that their loved ones are being deployed, that they are having to go to the front lines to defend their country, that businesses are having to be shuttered because their workers are leaving to go defend the country, and because they've had a massive terrorist attack.
See, that's the president's answer. And she's right. That's why Antony Blinken gave his answer that same way, is, what are you talking about? Fine, fair to ask later as we try to figure out why we didn't see this coming. Okay, fine, but maybe give it a week. You know, maybe not like while attacks are still going, like while women are still being raped and murdered in the streets of Israel. Maybe right now isn't exactly the time that you start probing the question about intelligence failures. And that's, I don't know, it struck me with the very wrong core. But it's good to see that you got both Democrats and Republicans answering the same way, which is, you know, you're fixating on the wrong thing. 437-1620, 437-1620. What does this mean for us? Good question. How long will it take to stabilize the region? The Lloyd Austin said on Saturday, I think it was Saturday, not yesterday, maybe it was yesterday early morning, that they were sending the Ford, the carrier group, east in the Med to be in proximity, which, you know, a carrier group is a pretty powerful force in the world, the most powerful projection of force capability in the world. And the fact that we're sending this one east in order to, what, blockade primarily from anybody getting supplies in through the, you know, through the sea, through the Mediterranean, or possibly the other way through the, you know, the Red Sea. But the Gerald Ford's going to be on the Eastern Med. It was in the Western Med. This is the Ford, which is in its first deployment, by the way, in case you're wondering. That includes the carrier group, the Ticonderoga-class guided missile cruiser, the Normandy, as well as Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyers, Tom Hudner and Ramage, and USS Kearney and USS Roosevelt, which are destroyers. And they've amplified, he says, the F-35, F-15, F-16, and A-10 fighter aircraft squadrons in the region through the Air Force. So, yeah, we are ramping up for just-in-case sake, right? Because it's not clear whether this is just some small independent action by the scope of state actions, okay? Because, you know, Hamas is not a state actor. By Hamas, or whether this is meant to be coordinated with something else. You know, is there a step two and a step three coming, or was this, is this everything they could do? You know, like 9/11 was everything that Al-Qaeda could do. Was that everything they could do? Or is that part one of eight? Well, you know, time will tell. That's why we're ramping up just in case, especially surprisingly, or especially because we were so surprised by it. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night starting at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's the last month to bring out a blanket and lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Crosstown, playing a little bit of everything, including classic rock and blues. Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Crosstown.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Smoking is not good for you, and has been deemed that anything not good for you is bad, hence illegal. Alcohol, caffeine, contact sports, meat.
Are you shitting me?
John Spartan, you are fined one credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
Careful you don't violate that verbal morality statute. Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. Yeah, I was thinking it was Judge Dredd.
They are similar.
Nice. Therefore, it is illegal.
That's right. Demolition Man is a movie. I periodically rewatch Demolition Man because it's not a good movie, but it's a really good, like, what could come in the future movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually, I mean, as far as that goes, It's actually pretty good. But it's one of these movies that came out in the 80s that, or maybe it's maybe 93. Maybe I have the time wrong on that. Anyway, but, you know, late 80s, early 90s. It was part of that whole, like, RoboCop was in this vintage and Starship Troopers, where they're movies that objectively you look at them, you're like, yeah, if that got made today, get made a little bit better. But it raises a lot of questions and has a lot of, you know, sci-fi spice, so to speak. You know, things that make you think about the world and, you know, the whole two caste society up above and down below. And, you know, the wonderful, calm, kind, be well, John Spartan kind of society up above. And the mean, rough and tumble, we'd rather risk death by starvation than submit to your rules down below. And, you know, and then all of the other things about the future of sex. And just, you know, it's not the great sci-fi in the sense of you're like, it's all packaged well. And then you think and talk about the ideas. But it's in there. You know, the stuff is in there. It's just maybe we could have done a little bit better job of producing the thing. 526 on News Radio 92.3. No offense to Wesley Snipes. 526 on News Radio 92.3. Simon Phoenix, great villain. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning. The United Auto Workers Union members at the Volvo Group Mack Trucks are now going on strike today after rejecting a contract agreement. In a letter yesterday, UAW President Sean Fain said the workers voted against that deal, which apparently included a 19% pay raise. So more workers now going on strike in that incident. Several major U.S. airlines are now canceling flights to Israel because of the ongoing conflict there. American, United, and Delta Airlines canceled weekend flights to Tel Aviv from several major U.S. cities. And a spokesman for Delta Airlines says they are working with the U.S. Government to assist in the safe return of any Americans that were in Israel when this broke out.
Which, by the way, when he was on NBC's Meet the Press, Tony Blinken basically said it's possible Americans were killed or captured. The latest word I've got, maybe you've got something more recent than that, was the reporting was that there were four Americans at least involved in all of this. And, you know, beyond that, four Americans were killed. So beyond that, we're still waiting to find out.
Yeah, my latest information didn't have a number, but it did say that there were some confirmed American casualties. So I'll double check on that here as the information continues to come in. Today is Indigenous Peoples Day. What is
you
that?
You mean Columbus Day?
Well, yes, and I don't know.
You misspelled Columbus Day.
I did. No, so that means banks may be open or they may be closed. If you have business to pursue today, I guess call ahead and find out, because there's no definitive answer what's open and not.
No, it's definitely one of those, like, you know, everything optional sort of days, right? Like, we're here. I think schools are schools closed in Florida today? I don't even know.
Wait,
I haven't even looked.
Everything's optional. See you later.
All right, goodbye. Not the clothing, David. Come on. Oh, know what I mean by everything. Yeah. Thanks so much for the update. Oh, man. Highway 98 yesterday closed. Just closed. Can't go through Tiger Point because of a relatively small, you know, fire. But, I mean, every fire is a fire. And the smoke, oh, my goodness, it was terrible. You know, we had been through there, I mean, just the day before going on our bike ride over to Oclusa Island, but, man, just all day yesterday and then getting these, you know, I never really think of Nixle very much. You know, that's the text service for, like, basically Gulf Breeze. But every once in a while, Nixle just stalks the crap out of my phone. And yesterday was one of those days. And, you know, hey, we're thinking about closing it. We're thinking about reopening it. Expect delays. You know, hey, real soon we're going to reopen it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Just, you know, tell me when it's open. That's a useful thing to know. But until then, drive around. You know, that's the only way you've got to go. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now we'll get into that later. Who's going to be Speaker of the House? We'll figure it out this week, maybe. Oh, did you hear? This is my favorite part of the story for the Speaker of the House that's uncertain right now. First time in history it's vacant. They were going to have a televised debate between Steve Scalise, Jim Jordan, and Cole. I forget his last name, the guy from Oklahoma. Anyway, and then all of a sudden, you know, Scalise is like, yeah, I'm not interested in doing that. It was going to be on Fox. And then Jordan's like, yeah, I'm not interested in doing that. So that idea got nixed right away. But they were going to have a public debate so that we could all watch in a decision that only people in Congress get to make.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a little bit missing your relevant audience-ish, don't you think?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Sirens and explosions are heard today in both Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. A rocket barrage just fired toward Israel as the war rages between Israel and Hamas.
The battle persists. The Jewish state is battling to seal its borders of Hamas fighters. They want them out of the country. And earlier this morning, Israeli Defense Forces were fighting Hamas in 7 or 8 places.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff reporting at least 700 Israelis are dead, including 4 Americans. About 500 people have been killed in Gaza, that small enclave. About 2.3 million Palestinians bordering Israel and Egypt. President Biden pledging his administration support for Israel's security, calling it rock solid and unwavering. Oil up more than $2 a barrel this morning. And Senate leader Chuck Schumer leads a bipartisan delegation to China, meeting with China's President Xi. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 54 degrees. Partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Congressman Matt Gaetz says he has no plans to run for governor.
So, Christian, there's a tremendous...
That is what Gaetz said recently, as some rumors went around saying he may be a candidate in 2026. Gaetz says he is exactly where he needs to be in Washington, doing exactly the work that he is supposed to be doing. He's currently in his fourth term. He tells Channel 3 he's deeply committed to what he's doing in Congress. Man was arrested over the weekend for allegedly holding a woman and a child hostage with a firearm. Now, that happened at a home on the 900 block of Beeman Avenue on Saturday. That incident reported after the man, after a woman arrived at the Escambia Sheriff's Office, said she just escaped from that home and said a child was still there. In the house, the sheriff's office SWAT team responded to the home. Ultimately, they did convince 26-year-old Jerry Keene Foster to release the child and surrender. Foster now being held with no bond on aggravated assault, kidnapping, false imprisonment, and obstruction of justice charges. The child was returned unharmed. One Florida-based private rescue organization says they're deploying resources to Israel in an effort to help evacuate Americans that are either not able to get out of Israel or are being held hostage. Project Dynamo founder and CEO Brian Stern says he's received dozens of requests for help in Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank. He says the mission of his group is to get Americans that are in Israel out of harm's way.
Of multiple American hostages that are being held by Hamas.
And Stern is saying anybody who has relatives in Israel and could potentially be harmed should register with his organization and also, of course, with the State Department as well. Governor Ron DeSantis going to be turning up in an unlikely place this week. He'll be on NBC's Morning Joe show tomorrow morning, and he'll also be on CNN in the next couple of weeks. This will be his first appearance on MSNBC this year, his second on CNN. A DeSantis spokesperson telling Politico.com that DeSantis is looking to drive his message across a diverse amount of media to share his plans for what he would do as president of the U.S. It is 5:34, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a nice day today with plenty of sunshine. Temperatures near 78 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. We're going to be warming up as we go into Tuesday with a high near 83. Mostly cloudy skies. Low Tuesday night near 68 degrees. 70% chance of rain on Wednesday with a high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And right now, 53 in Pensacola. 52 in Gulf Breeze and 47 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
The I-10 Wired Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored in part by Data Revolution, the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes the AFSIA TechNet CyberCoast track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wired.com for tickets and event information.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. It's like headline news for radio every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should. I have to praise you. I have to praise you. I have to praise you. I have to praise you.
Jared brings it back to the line of scrimmage. Three receivers out to his left, far side of the field. He's going to look that direction. Doesn't see anything. Then he does fire it up towards the end zone. Wide open touchdown, Argos. And the Argos draw first blood in this one. Jacoby Quillen with a touchdown catch.
There you go, 7-0 early in the game. Same quarter, late in the quarter, 2:56 left to go. You got playing at, or you got homecoming here. All of a sudden, it was here, right? Yeah, I had it backwards in my notes. I have UWF as the visitor, but like, I think it was homecoming, so that's on me. Anyway, playing shorter at home.
Man comes in motion and then goes back from whence he came. Brown will pull it. He's rolling out to his right. He's looking down the field, throws. He's got a man in the end zone. Touchdown shorter.
And let me say about that particular touchdown call that not so much.
We're back with you. We got to clean it up here because the score is 7-3. Argos are on top. Apparently what we thought was a touchdown pass was out of bounds. It looked like they just came right out and kicked an extra point, but that was a field goal. And that is the short explanation for the long and winding story of how we are 7-3.
So it was 7-7 for about, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes of broadcast time. And then all of a sudden, Will's like, uh-oh. It's not 7-7. It's 7-3. So what he had thought was a reception for a touchdown and then a point after was actually an incomplete pass and then a field goal. And so 7-3. So, no, it was never 7-7. It's just kind of a funny little – and, like, you think calling football games is easy? I do not. I would not want that. It's, you know, maybe at the major league level or at the, you know, NFL kind of level where you've got, or at college football, where you've got like all of the technological support. You know, it's basically Will and his laptop and coach trying to make sure they get everything right. It's hard to do. So I give him all the grace in the world for that. But yeah, it went from being, you know, I've never seen a football game in which a team lost points, you know, went negative on points, but they took some points away from Shorter in this game the other day. But nevertheless, 7-3 at the time, mid second quarter.
Inside the 20, Argos in the red zone. They'll come back. They'll dump it out here to the right side, down near the goal line. The Argos firing right back to it. Did he get in? It is a touchdown. Touchdown, Argos. I couldn't tell from that angle.
Yeah.
And I'm hesitant. I'm a little gun-shy.
Yeah, I'm a little gun-shy miscalling it. No, that was John Giles. That's right. That was a touchdown. Another drive later on, Pee Wee Jarrett, the quarterback for the Argos.
They're looking to throw. He has a man down the side towards the end zone. Defender is there.
Oh,
tries
wow.
to reach around him. It comes off. It's picked off. And the return is on out across the 20. Man, you're still trying to figure out what happened there. Again, I didn't see the defender ever turn his head back.
Yeah, it looked like it bounced.
Should have been. Yeah,
bounced off his back.
He kind of felt like it could have been pass interference here. Maybe he did look back at the football, but it came off the defender or the receiver and ends up in the hands.
Shot up in the air.
Off the receiver, off the defender, up in the air, picked off in the end zone, and then returned out. So it's an interception, and it does not feel like in any way, shape, or form that's Pee-wee Jarrett's interception.
No.
Just one of those tough ones.
You're throwing into traffic, and you think it's a defensive pass interference, but it turns out to be an interception for a touchback. But, you know, no big deal. Then, you know, they force Shorter off the field because that's what they did all day. Shorter's point total, by the way, on the day, three. Remember how we were always talking about the defense at UWF? 3 points. 3 points only. The only touchdown that UWF allowed all day was an error by the broadcasters. That's as close as they got to a touchdown. So they're punting.
Rugby-style punt. This might be his best kick of the day. Drives Virgil Lemons back deep into his own end. But could there be a return? Lemons dances through the right side, gets away from the first guy, turns it up the sidelines. I'm looking for Laundrie. I don't see any. Nice return by Virgil Lemons,
good
the
return.
Third.
Laundrie is Will's way of saying flag, and there was no flag on the play. So big return next play. So this is off of a punt, right? This is just toward the end of the second quarter. Next play from scrimmage.
Pee-wee Jarrett, hands off. Another big hole, right side of the line. C.J. Wilson just dancing away from people. Cuts it back to the left. He's going to get into the end zone. Touchdown, Argos. C.J. Wilson, 36 yards out.
So that made it 21-3. We go into halftime, 21-3. We come out of halftime.
So that brings up a second and 12 from the 13. They can get a first down. Down at the one. Jared back to pass, fires the middle, got KJ Franklin, touchdown, Argos. He takes the big pop, but that's after he was already in the end zone, and he's doing the gritty. Got to get the gritty in when you're from Louisiana. That's some grits, some Cajun food, all that good stuff coming out.
Pee-wee Jarrett throwing to everybody. Everybody's running it, including a one-yard keeper by the quarterback.
Just even let Pee-wee run it out of the – we used to run a lot of design quarterback runs. They do it here. Yep. Into the end zone. Argos score again. Touchdown from 1 yard out.
35-3. And then even the last one of the game, a completely different name, T.J. Lane.
First down, goal to go from the three. They'll hand it off in the middle. T.J. Lane puts his head down. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Argos. T.J. Lane.
So absolutely demolished Shorter. 42-3 in the end. And they're leaving Division II to get away from us. They're going up to Division. Them and North Greenville are both leaving the Division II to go up to Division I. So, yeah, after the game, Kate Thomas from ESPN Pensacola.
Coach, just talk about your performance tonight. I think one thing we have to talk about is your defense. We spoke about it at the half. Your defense was lights out tonight.
Yeah, they always are. They're pretty good. You know, I know we got a lot of work to do and get better moving forward, but they're pretty good, and they make us a lot better on offense during the week. So got a lot to clean up, but I'm excited about how we ended the game and played a full 60 minutes.
What do you need to clean up? Well, penalties, yeah. But, you know, 42-3, there's not a lot to clean up. But, you know, as a coach, you're always looking for perfection, right?
Well, I know that you're always trying to achieve excellence. So you said there's a few things we need to clean up. What are some of those things that you want to see from your team as you move forward throughout the season?
I don't know our number of penalties tonight, but obviously we had cleanup penalties from the whole season. You know, we clean up a lot as far as, like, unsportsmanlike conduct, personal fouls, things like that, which is good. We got to keep getting better at running the football. We're in the football very well. And we got to be able to have a good pass game plan when people play us like that. So excited about how we played, and we got a lot of work to do moving forward.
And I love this question because it's a funny answer from Caleb Nobles. She's asking him, like, how are you going to celebrate, right?
Well, it's your first year as head coach and first win for homecoming night. What are you going to do to celebrate?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the film, grade it, and I'm going to hang out with my wife and my daughter. I got a bunch of family in town, and relax, get my feet up, and get a little sleep tonight.
All right, well, enjoy it. And you need some much-needed rest. Right. Congratulations, Coach.
Perfect. Thank you. Go Argos.
How are you going to celebrate? I'm going to watch film. That's a funny answer. 544 on you. But, you know, it's fresh in your head. You want to make sure that you first of all, you don't want to let any of your questions about what happened linger. That makes sense to me. And you want to settle them definitively with the tape and, you know, get it clear in your head exactly what did happen and not stew over things that didn't happen or, you know, maybe not stew over something that you should have been stewing over, right? Because, I mean, you know, all of that's true. So good job, Argos. They advanced to, 5-1 now on the season, I think is correct. 5-1 on the season. The only loss coming at FAMU, a pretty serious Division I team that, you know, we were playing them at home. And that's how we got to do these days to get games because nobody wants to play us. 544 on News Radio 92.3. Did you watch any of the other college? You're a football fan, Candy. Did you watch any of the college football over the weekend?
I did not.
So a lot of the games were super boring. Georgia destroyed Kentucky 51-13. Number one ranked Georgia. Number two ranked Michigan demolished Minnesota 52-10. You know, 50 to is, that's, you know, when you're a highly ranked team and the other team is not. Ohio State, Maryland, they're fourth ranked, 37-17. Florida State demolished Virginia Tech. There's the first 5-0 start since 2015, 39-17. And then you had some scares. And then you had some fun games. The Oklahoma-Texas game. Oh, my God. This was a great, like, first 10 minutes and, like, last 10 minutes. You could have skipped all the in-between. I mean, it's not that there was no football going on. This is a really fun game. But, I mean, this game from the get-go was just, like, that was the crazy game to watch. Now, I know if you're an Alabama fan, you want me to talk about it, that's fine. We'll get to it. But, no, the Texas-Oklahoma game was really fun because Texas was ranked third, so they come in the favorite over Oklahoma, number 12. But, man, there was – I'm watching this game and I'm cooking, okay? So that's how I was doing it on Saturday. And, you know, everything that happened was crazy. Like, the very early on in the game – you had, like, the first, I don't know, second play, I think, from scrimmage. You had the quarterback for Oklahoma get picked off. Or Texas got picked off.
Ewers has the football, gets it out. Almost threw it. He did throw a pick. Right to Gentry Williams, who jumped the route.
Yeah, we're 46 seconds into the game, and Texas gets picked off. And then, of course, Oklahoma winds up scoring off of that.
Gabriel takes off. Darts up the middle and scores. Sooners draw first blood quickly. In the pit.
So we're 2 minutes into the game, and already, like, Oklahoma is devastating Texas at home, which you're like, oh, no. So I'm just looking for a good game out of this. Okay, so you get Texas has got the ball back, and then what happens?
Robinson and Brooks flanking Ewers. And a throw. Sanders tipped up in the air and intercepted. The second takeaway. Kendall Dolby comes up with the pick. Billy Bowman batted it up in the air.
Deep in their own end, OU takes over again. Second pick already, just early, like 5 minutes into the game. So Oklahoma is deep in their own end. And
Xavier Worthy waits in Oklahoma territory to receive the punt of Josh Plaster. And it's blocked. And Texas scores a touchdown.
So Texas blocks the punt.
For more wild stuff in the first few minutes of this game.
It gets a touchdown off it. So we're 6 minutes into the game, and you've already seen everything. Like, it's insane. On the reception of that kickoff, Oklahoma tried an end-around, kind of reverse, but they wound up throwing the ball forward, so it was actually forward pass, so it was ruled, you know, they can't do that. So it had to come back. But still, I mean, you know, you like to see the try. And then you get down to the end of this game, and that's like I said, in the middle, it was just kind of back-and-forth warfare, but you get down to the end of the game, and you've got, you know, Texas is down by 7. Oklahoma's winning, 27-20.
Made the pick early. Now Brooks makes a cut. It's base. Brooks accelerates. Texas touchdown.
So they tie it all up with 6 minutes to go, but that is more than enough time for Oklahoma to get something going.
OU's got to throw incompletions or score. They cannot afford to get tackled inbounds.
Time is short, 20 seconds. Unbelievable throw out of the, like, the whole pocket was collapsing around the quarterback, and he managed to get the throw out. I don't know how, because he's a smaller guy, I think. And then Nick Anderson picks it up, and they wind up going on to win 34-30. So, whoo, that was crazy. And no, I'm not going to pick on you if you're a Miami fan. Miami had the ball, okay, against Georgia Tech, leading 3 points up, 43 seconds to go on a third down. And instead of just, and the clock was going to get below 40 even because they had time still on the play clock. And so Miami, with going to be under 40 seconds to go and the lead and a down, decides to run a play, which typically you would think, well, it's not that big of a deal, but they could have just, you know, down the ball, but they didn't.
No. Yeah, it's under 40 seconds. Just take a knee. Like, you should not be handing this football off.
You're right.
I don't know what Miami is doing.
That's it.
Nobody knows what Miami is doing because they can just run out the clock and win the game.
Here's Chaney. Just straight ahead. Tackled, and the ball popped out.
You got to read the clock. Read the card. I mean,
and
to me,
Georgia Tech has it with 26 seconds left.
The worst thing that could possibly happen did happen. They fumbled it, and Georgia Tech did what? Well, you don't squander an opportunity like this with 8 seconds or 7 seconds on the clock.
Singleton, the fastest of the receivers, to the top of the screen. Here's King from the pocket. Flush to his right with 6, 5. Going to loop it downfield. And ball is caught! Touchdown, Georgia Tech!
with 1 second to go in the ball game, Christian Leary hauls it in.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I'm going to say it. It needs to be said. That's one of the biggest coaching mistakes at this level that I have ever seen in my lifetime.
That's like Iron Bowl error level. I mean, that's bad, really, really bad. So if you're a Miami fan, I'm so sorry. That's an awful way to lose a game. Meanwhile, Alabama manages to win a scraper against Texas A&M. That was a really good game, too. LSU manages to beat Missouri. And Florida beats Vanderbilt, which, you know, who doesn't? 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy the food, music, and fun at the Pensacola Beach Chamber's Taste of the Beach, Saturday from 10 to 4 at Casino Beach. Visit PensacolaBeachChamber.com for more. Experience an authentic Italian festival with food, Italian music, and family fun at the Sons and Daughters of Italy's Festa Italiana, Friday and Saturday in Seville Square. See VisitPensacola.com for more details. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What if he's not the great actor Spotswood says he is?
Why don't you trust actors, Chris?
I got my reasons.
I wish I was a sentimental ornament you hung on the Christmas tree. I wish I was the star that went on top. I wish I was the evidence. I wish I was the grounds for 50 million hands upraised and open toward the sky.
5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, cold. I had 54 on the way in today. I don't know what it is right now, but that's what I had coming in this morning. I thought, woo-wee. anybody wear pants? Anybody in the studio wearing pants? You're wearing pants?
I wear my lamp pants.
No, you're not. Well, you wear those sometimes anyway. Okay. Oh, you got like
these are my lamb legs.
One.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm saying I got woolly legs.
You're
anyway.
A climate betrayer. So
no, I look like a minotaur. I'm threatening to my enemies.
First day of cold, no matter how cold it gets, you still got to wear shorts.
Are you wearing pants? You're wearing shorts?
Wearing shorts? Of course I'm wearing shorts. What are you talking about?
David?
I have a Y chromosome. David, how about you? Do you have a Y chromosome or are you wearing pants?
I'm wearing pants. I'm sorry. No way out of this. You're going to find out sooner or later.
It's okay to wear pants.
First day of cold, you still wear shorts. That's just
the
law.
But this isn't the first
Jeez,
day.
Earlier this hour,
day.
I get in trouble when I'm not wearing pants. Now I get in trouble when I am wearing pants. Well, I don't know what's right here.
To be fair, you only threaten to not wear pants. Go ahead, David.
Well, Gavin Newsom has apparently shot down a bill that would have allowed Amsterdam-style cannabis cafes in California. Over the weekend, he vetoed a bill that would have let cannabis retailers prepare and sell non-cannabis food and beverages and sell tickets to live performances at their cafes. Newsom says he vetoed the bill because he had concerns about whether it would violate their smoke-free workplace protections.
What is going on in California? Like, I don't pay attention to California state lawmaking, but he vetoes the drug cafe law. He vetoes the free condoms in the schools law. They were going to do that in all the middle schools and high schools. They were going to make all, well, middle school if attached to a high school, okay? Everybody was going to be able to get free condoms in the schools. He said that's too expensive. Meanwhile, he signed into law that they're going to move over to electric buses. They're going to convert their entire fleet of school buses over to electric buses.
That'll work well.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's perfect. And also super cheap. Like, you know, who knew? Right. Like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm not in favor of giving the kids free condoms. But if his rationale is save money, what he's basically saying is okay to make more humans, though bad for the climate, their worldview. We cannot afford that, but we can afford to invest in these electric school buses that are going to cost us way more. So I don't know. I can't make sense of it. Oh, and he also vetoed a bill that would have prohibited the caste system.
Really?
It's already illegal. I mean, it's illegal. But, you know, it's like, what does the caste system have to do with California? Like, is that something that's, you know, they're importing that directly from, you know, Southeastern
Top of
Asia?
The agenda right here.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, I don't know what the... I'm sure they put forward a lot of things every year. Anyway, sorry, I kind of interrupted you in my tirade. Go ahead.
No, that is okay. The ongoing conflict between Israel and the Gaza militant group has apparently been sparking rallies all across the U.S., Andrew. People in support of both Israel and the Palestinians took to the streets in New York City over the weekend. There was also similar instances in Tampa, Chicago, Atlanta, and Washington, D.C., with two different groups of protesters clashing and police having to step in the middle of them.
All right, very good. And it's discouraging to see that, you know, some people are honestly out there demonstrating against Israel, like in favor of Hamas. And look, I know people have their stupidities, but it's hard to wrap your brain around how misinformed you have to be to take that side. Well, Andrew, you don't know what the Israelis have done. I don't know what the Israelis have done. How about what everyone else has done to the Israelis? Can we just start with that? If you're going to go into the historical grievances category, let's start with that. 557 on News Radio 92.3. David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. This ought to be an interesting meeting this morning. Santa Rosa County Commission meeting is going to talk about some renamings. Proposed renaming. This morning is the agenda review. Basically, they call it the committee meeting, but it's like the agenda review for the regular meeting coming up on Thursday. And one of the things that's going to come up is Commissioner Colton Wright is going to propose naming a community center in Pace for Don Salter. Okay, so which makes perfect sense. You know, that's the kind of thing that very, you know, of course, it makes perfect sense to name a community center after Don Salter. In response, not to be outthought, where's this going to go? James Calkins has proposed renaming, you ready? The Tiger Point Community Center, you know, the community center that everybody knows is the Tiger Point Community Center. You want to take a stab at this, Candy? You will not be able to guess this. I will tell you in advance.
General Chappie James from Boylston.
No. You want to take another stab at this? I'm going to give you a couple chances. Who does James Calkins want to...
Ronald Reagan.
Okay. Interesting. No. One more stab.
Putin. I don't know, dude.
I love Russia.
Right.
The Gates.
Oh, okay.
Family Community Center.
God, he loves the Gateses. I do too, but wow. Okay.
You typically don't name stuff for people... Well, they're alive.
And young. Yeah.
You know, because it's
that
Don
sounds like
and
a curse.
Matt. Yeah. Also, and...
The Don and Matt Gates Community Center?
the Gates Family Community Center, apparently.
They do.
No, not while they're alive. And can I make a guess here? Can I make a guess that he probably didn't call Matt or Don to ask him?
I think Matt would be like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Both Matt and Don, I am pretty confident, would be like... What the? So, we'll see how this goes. It ought to be kind of interesting. You know, Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. Always a bit of fun. We'll see this morning.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.